It's hard to discuss breaking down barriers in sports without, at least once, invoking the Brooklyn Dodgers. Specifically, Jackie Robinson, who broke Major League Baseball's color barrier 66 years ago this month. His story is the stuff of legend, as in the new film named for his number, 42.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
Robinson's legend took shape and took off from the very start.
You give me a uniform. You give me a number on my back. And I'll give you the guts.
Just 3 years after his debut as a player, he starred as himself in the Jackie Robinson story.
Suppose I collide with you at second base, and when I get up, I say, you dirty black so-and-so. What do you do?
Mr. Rickey, do you want a ball player who's afraid to fight back?
I want a ball player with guts enough not to fight back.
Throughout the more than six-decade celebration over Robinson's achievement, the chief interpreter of it, the strong and steady hand behind both the man and the myth, is virtually unknown. Los Angeles Times sports writer Bill Plaschke has recently penned a portrait of this largely invisible man.
When he was 17 years old, he played in a really important baseball game, and a scout came, and he was the pitcher, and there was a white catcher, and a scout came and said, you know, I'd like to sign you to play for professional baseball, but you're black, I can't do it, so he signed the white catcher instead. From that moment on, Wendell Smith said that he was going to try to break the racial barriers in baseball, however way he could do it, and he couldn't do it by playing, so he decided to do it by writing. So he was a sports writer who was also an advocate. So it was Wendell Smith who first came to Branch Rickey, the Dodgers general manager, and said, hey, I got a guy you should look at to be the first black in baseball, and that's Jackie Robinson. Branch Rickey decided that Jackie would be the best candidate to break the barrier. One of the first people he called was Wendell Smith, and he said, listen, we want you to travel with him. So they traveled together for the first 2 years of Jackie's pro career. It would be unthinkable today for a newspaper to allow a writer to accompany just one player all the time and take care of him.
He ghost wrote Robinson's weekly newspaper column.
Yeah, he was his voice. He would also counsel Robinson on how to deal with the media. And okay, they're going to ask you this, you need to say this.
You wrote that when Robinson resisted, Smith would remind him that he himself was enduring the same racial slights, only without the stardom.
That was the most, to me, the most compelling part of the movie, which mirrored real life exactly from my research, was where Wendell picked up Jack at the train station, and Jack's like, Wendell, I get tired of you. You're always with me. You're always trying to counsel me. You have no idea what I'm going through. And Wendell stopped the car and looked at him and said, Jack, why do you think I sit in the stands at games? Why do you think I type my stories with a typewriter on my knees in the bleachers? Why don't you think I'm in a press box? Because I'm not allowed in a press box. Because I go through the same stuff you do. Open your eyes. Can't imagine as a sports writer not having access to a place to write your story. I can't imagine that. He had to cover the team a whole year before the Baseball Writers Association of America even let, you know, Wendell join.
In The Courier, the black paper for which Wendell was still writing even as he was traveling with Robinson, he encouraged black fans to conduct themselves well at games, and he downplayed the ugly impact of racial incidents in baseball.
That's what he counseled Robinson, and that's how he wrote. He wrote it like, you know what, we're supposed to be here, we belong here, let's act like we belong here, and let's act like anything that happens to us, we can handle it.
Describe what he looked like.
Wendell had, you know, big glasses, and, you know, he was a slightly built man, and just kind of blended in. He wasn't loud, and he wasn't abrasive, and it was interesting. I'm describing him mostly from the one photo I've seen of him and from is what his wife has told me, because nobody really knew what Wendell looked or sounded like because they didn't take pictures of sports writers back then.
He did later become an on-air sports broadcaster for WGN, right?
15, 20 years later, yes, he became an on-air person. By then, he was a very huge figure in the African-American community and as far as in the media. He also, in Chicago, Wendell Smith also wrote a series of columns that they thought should have won a Pulitzer Prize about how despite baseball being integrated by the early 60s, spring training was still segregated. Players could play on the teams, but in the spring training in Florida, they had to live in separate hotels and terrible hotels. So he did a huge series about that, changed baseball. Baseball stopped going to those spring training sites in Florida that would not let blacks and whites live in the same place.
Even though they didn't hang out after Jackie's brilliant career, they still remained tied.
The last story Wendell Smith wrote, he was suffering from cancer, and the last story he wrote was from his hospital bed. He wrote Jackie's obit. And then a month later, Wendell died as well.
Why do you think Wendell gets written out of the story time and time again?
Frankly, I must admit to you, until recently, I didn't know idea of this man's great impact. The producers of the movie told me they didn't know until they studied it. We thought it was Jack against the world. Certainly would not imagine him to be a sports writer.
Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bill Plaschke covers sports for the Los Angeles Times.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? It went zooming across the left field wall. Yeah.